Chapter 10, verse 1 is where the Proverbs actually start. The first 9 chapters have been introduction. And so this will be the last chapter of introduction, actually encouraging us again to be teachable, to be ready to hear from God in the ways that He would have for our lives to be most blessed here and to spend eternity with Him. And so let's go ahead and read verse 1. And verse 1 of chapter 9 of Proverbs says this: "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars." Now, an interesting number, 7. And I always like to discuss the things that you kind of get inquisitive about while you're reading the Bible. You know, why 7? Why does it say here that wisdom has built her house? She has hewn out her 7 pillars. And you know there's answers in the Bible. Does the air conditioner work, bro, or is it broken? Or it doesn't work? Oh, boy. Okay. Well, so we can just imagine where we're not going. Right? Praise the Lord. Somebody just got that, you know. Okay. All right. So the 7 pillars. Now, 7 is God's number of completion. He created the earth in 6 days. The 7th day, he rested. And I often think if each day is billions of years and so forth, and he created a day of rest for us, does that mean I can work 6 days and rest for billions of years? No, these are literal days, 24-hour periods. Yeah, he created the earth in 6 literal days. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. That's the Bible. And so on the 7th day he rested. It was complete. It was done. It didn't take billions of years, just 7 or 6 days. And so this number of completion. Now this helps us to understand Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 5 verse 6, and we will keep our finger in chapter 9 of Proverbs. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Now, this is the Apostle John receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he is seeing in a vision of heaven the throne of God. And what he sees on the throne of God is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He belongs there because he is God. Yes, he is. Before Abraham was, he said, "I am." And Moses said, "What's your name, God?" And he said, "I am." And so Jesus was saying, "I'm God," right there. "Yes, sir." John chapter 8, last verse. And so here we see him on the throne, the Lamb. Let's read verse 6. "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures," these are the 4 angelic beings that are by the throne of God, continually, day and night, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And so they were there at the throne, and in the midst of the in the midst of the elders. Now the elders are 24 in number. We're told that in a different part of Revelation. People guess who the elders in heaven are. Some say, well, 12 apostles and 12 prophets from the Old Testament. That sounds like a good guess to me, but nobody actually knows who the 24 elders are. You never know, one of you might be one of them. You never know what God's going to do. And so God will do that real well, because he does everything well. But there also then stood a Lamb right in the midst of the throne. And we know who that is, don't we? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's what John the Baptist said about Jesus. And so this Lamb, and it says, as it had been slain, that Jesus will actually carry the wounds that he got on the cross and before the cross in his body forever, so that when we look at him and we're just loving on him, we'll remember what he did. Just like we're going to do today with communion. "Remember me," he says. And as we remember him, we show the Lord's death until he come. And so in heaven, he'll be on the throne with the marks, the scars of the nail prints in his hands and the wound in his side forever. And so a Lamb as it had been slain. Now here's the part that seems kind of strange to us. but it includes the number 7, which will help explain the 7 pillars of wisdom in chapter 9, verse 1 of Proverbs. It says here that he had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Now, as we read that, we think, well, that seems really weird. And it doesn't seem like any painting I ever saw of Jesus. But you see, the thing is that whatever God says and has is normal. You're weird. No, we're not weird because he made us also, right? And so, but when we see the Lord, and there he is with the 7 spirits of God sent forth to all the earth. Now, these 7 spirits actually in total make up the full work, the completed work of the Holy Spirit here on earth. Those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so he has sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come and teach us all things and bring to remembrance all things whatsoever Jesus said to us. And the complete work of the Holy Ghost is summed up through the 7 spirits of God that we see here with Jesus. And we know we've made the connection with wisdom in Jesus, because God has made Jesus Christ wisdom unto us, 1 Corinthians 1:30. And so here we see Jesus Christ connected with the 7 pillars of wisdom through the 7 spirits of God. Now, it's really neat what we're going to see next. It's amazing. Let's say amazing. Amazing. Good. As we turn back to the Old Testament and look at the 7 spirits of God listed, how they do bring definition to wisdom, as we've been seeing in the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. All the words we've been seeing for all these weeks in the introduction are wrapped up in the 7 spirits of God. Let's take a look. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, first of all, of course, we've been saying over and over again and showing you scripture on that Old and New Testament that actually wisdom really equals Jesus, because in him, Colossians, we looked at the verse in Colossians, are hid all the treasures of wisdom. In Jesus are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom. And so as we get to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 in the Old Testament, it talks about Jesus Christ first, before it mentions the 7 spirits of God, which end up to be the 7 pillars of wisdom. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Who's Jesse? David's daddy. David's daddy. King David's daddy was, who's Jesse, lived in Bethlehem and of the tribe of Judah. And we know in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, God said to King David, I will establish your throne forever. And that establishment of David's throne forever is the Lord Jesus. That's why they said at the triumphal entry, Hosanna, Hosanna, O son of David, and because of that prophecy. Now see, now we're talking right here about David's daddy. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now this word branch in the Hebrew is nitzer, and there is a connection made with nitzer in the Hebrew to actually a Nazarene. The last verse in Matthew chapter 2 gives prophecy that Jesus would be called a Nazarene, and he lived in Nazareth. And the connection is made here in the Old Testament with this verse, Nitzer, the branch. And so this is Jesus, and you'll see that branch is capitalized in your Bible. What does that mean? That means that it's talking about the Lord. Yeah. And so through Jesse, through David, 28 generations later, Jesus came to Bethlehem to be born in a manger. And that was, of course, 2,000 years ago. This was written in prophecy 2,700 years ago in Isaiah. God knew it, that it was going to happen, and he prophesied the birth of Jesus Christ and the coming of the branch and even the place where he would live, Nazareth. And so it says here in verse 2, as we begin to give you the 7 spirits of God that would rest upon Jesus Christ. Number 1, the Spirit of the Lord. shall rest upon him. Number two, the spirit of wisdom. That's a familiar word. We've been studying wisdom for the last 9 chapters, haven't we? And understanding is number three, the spirit of understanding. And remember that we read in Proverbs, with all you're getting, get understanding. With all you're getting, get wisdom. So understanding is so important in the definition of wisdom. And then it says the spirit of counsel. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Almighty God. Now, my wife said to me years ago, she said, my psychiatrist is Jesus. Amen. And it's not that she needed a psychiatrist, but she takes everything to Jesus Christ because he's a counselor. That's who he is, because he is wisdom. And he can give you any answer you need anytime about anything. He's my counselor. And so it's so good to go to him. And so the spirit of counsel will be upon him. That's number four. Number five is the spirit of might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It isn't by might nor strength, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And so the spirit of might is to be sought from the Lord Jesus when we need some power for deliverance. Because any mountain in your life can be removed by the spirit of God. It's not by might or strength, it's by the spirit of the Lord, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. And so the spirit of might. The next one is the spirit of knowledge. Remember, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We got these three in our definition of wisdom in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. And so the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, number 7. The fear of the Lord is a healthy respect for God. What God says, we better listen. What God brings forth, it would behoove us to say, yea and amen, Lord, build that in me. When God speaks this to us individually, to obey, trust and obey, and do what he says, the wisdom is there every time to help us to have life and that more abundantly here on the earth. For those that would just kind of resist the Lord's Spirit and go the other way, they have to pick up the pieces later. And, you know, that is probably one of the most beautiful things about God, even though we do go our own way. We had one of our songs today said that. God is faithful. If we come back to him and say, Jesus, I made a mess of this, can you help me now? He will pick up the pieces and put them back together. He will do that. Humpty Dumpty can be put back together again. And it's so great to know that. He's the one that knows how to do it. I remember my mechanic once let me know. He pointed to a sign in his garage. It's $30 an hour if you bring your car right into me. It's $45 an hour if you worked on it first. And that's often what we do, isn't it? We got to work the problem and dig deeper. So God needs a bigger lug wrench to take care of it. But you know, as we just decide to turn it over to him, then he picks up the pieces. Because he is the spirit of counsel. He is the spirit of might and knowledge and wisdom. And we need to have a great respect for that. When you are sinning and you know it, and you feel a real conviction in your heart, and there's this fear that strikes like, oh no, that's a good feeling, because you are entering into the fear of the Lord. And the scripture tells us, we'll see this in chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where we start. And so here we have the 7 spirits of God. Now let's go on back then to Proverbs chapter 9 and take a look at what's next there. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Oh, there's something that feels good. Oh, you know what? That's dear Pastor Bill. He put a big fan over there for us. Praise the Lord. Okay, here we go. Proverbs 9. Now, Proverbs 9, verses 2 through 6 begins to talk about she. And I love this. You know, I would read through this fast and just go, not doesn't compute too well. But to really say to the Lord this time through, to as we're studying this deeply, Lord, please open up these scriptures that says she, and referring to wisdom. And you know, the Lord just gave me simple examples in my heart. So many thoughts began to race through my head about you, you dear women, that actually have turned your lives over to Jesus. And with that, then you receive the wisdom of God. If anyone asks for wisdom, God will give it liberally. Simple as that. Then you have the mind of Christ. And the women just beginning to flow in the Spirit. And so let's think about the women as we read this. It says, she, that is wisdom, has killed her beasts. She has mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. And right away, I'd like to zero in on one woman. That's my grandmother. And boy, I tell you, this is a description of her. And she was a godly woman. She used to drag me out of bed and take me to Sunday school. She would drive over from her house and say, Mark, we're going to Sunday school. And that's where I got my start. That's where I got saved, was in Sunday school. God bless you, Sunday school teachers. But it says here that she has killed her beast. My grandmother has cooked so many beasts that I can't even begin to count them. She's in heaven now, and I imagine she's in the kitchen. But the thing is that she could cook one mean roast beast, and turkey too, and all the different holidays that we have. Nano was the king, the queen, excuse me. She has killed her beast. She has mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table. And I just remember in a little apartment that Nan and Pop lived in, we'd all come. You all come now here, and you'd set up that long table that would fill up the living room and the kitchen, and everybody would sit around that table. She has set her table. She's ready. And she has sent forth her maidens. I love this one because I began to think about it and how one time we put a tape recorder on the different conversation at a meal that Nana had cooked. And boy, you could hear her voice going. It was almost just her talking. I mean, sending her maidens. You sit here. You get that. Don't get the cranberry sauce. And, it was just all Nano. And when we played it back after dinner, everybody's laughing, of course. But Nano was kind of embarrassed. She said, do I really talk that much? Yes. But we love it, Nano. We love it. Nano was Nano. She is she. She was filled with wisdom, watching over all of us like a mothered hen, her chicks. And she could sure furnish a table. And so she sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places of the city. What's more famous than mom and apple pie? I ask you, at least in America, what's more famous than mom and apple pie? Oh, the loving mothers of America. That's why they started Mother's Day. I think they started Father's Day just to kind of, be fair or something. But. Because dad's just usually one of the controller and it's who's playing ball, But the mom, she's like Martha in the Bible. She's busy about many things, but she's doing great things because when it's time to eat, oh yeah, let's go eat. And it's wonderful. So she's good. So and actually this whole idea and this feeling of wisdom and setting the table and being like a hub of a family and to... I asked Diane Hudson, I said, how many are coming to Thanksgiving dinner to your house? You know what she said? 40. And I almost fell down. 40 people. Well, she's got 10 brothers and sisters, and she's kind of the mama-san of the whole thing. And so the Gonzalez clan gathers over at the Hudsons for Thanksgiving. I thought that was really neat. Reminded me of Nano. And so let's go on and read some more. It says, whoso is simple, let him turn in here. As for him that wants understanding, she says to him, come, eat my bread. Boy, that dear one, like my grandmother, always saying, so are you hungry? No, sit down, have something to eat. Come, eat my bread. And of course, on a more serious note, well, that is a serious note because it is wonderful to be filled with the Spirit, to be so hospitable. But on the note of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the reverence for our Savior, That's what he says to us. Come and dine. Come, come and eat. He says, I am the bread of life. He that eats my body and drinks my blood. He that doesn't do that has no part with me. And it just simply means to just actually be totally committed to him, so much so that it's like we're one together, and that's what God's doing. And that's why we have communion. He's inviting us to the table this morning. Come, come eat my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. And I think about the mingling of his blood with his sweat and his tears in the Garden of Gethsemane there. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. This verse, of course, then I brought Nano back to my mind very simply, is she would always be saying to me and my cousin and the different ones in the family, now you boys be careful who you run with. Anybody ever heard that saying? I think that that's from that generation. Be careful who you run with. Bad company corrupts good morals, kind of thing from the New Testament. And so she was there in her wisdom and her understanding, feeding us, taking care of us, but also saying, forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding, pleading with us as young men and the girls as young women. And I thank God for her. I thank God that there's a strength in America through the women of America that know the Lord and that walk in him. And you know what? The gifts and ministries of these dear ones isn't always the kitchen. It's nice if it is. But it's great other ministries, as we know, don't we? We're going to hear Lynn sing in a little while. And she's been such a witness to us through the years to come and sing each year for us, as Marvin has brought her. Marvin was her teacher, taught her everything she knows. Bro. Lynn. Yes. Well, anyway, moving on from there. Lynn is a great singer that God has blessed her voice for us, and she'll be singing later. So wisdom, the wisdom in our girls, the she of wisdom is in many of our girls, and we just praise God. I got to share one more little testimony. I came to the men's prayer meeting on Thursday night, and I heard this beautiful voice here in the sanctuary. I said, who is that? Who is that? And I ran to the window so I could look in and see who it was. And it was Stephanie Rodriguez singing. And she was to sing at Anaheim High School, and she actually won the prize of getting the solo there because her voice is so beautiful. And so I saw her mom, Sue Rodriguez, in the hallway. And I ran up to her. I said, your daughter has a beautiful voice. And she said, boy, I wish I could sing. And she says, I've asked God that when I get to heaven that I can sing real good in a giant kitchen. And that's the way she put it. And I just said, I'll be first in line. And I went on to the men's prayer meeting. So praise God for the wonderful women of the Lord. Now, we do have a contrast in Proverbs 9 of the foolish woman. And we want to read through these scriptures kind of fast because this is, not good news, of course. None of us want to be like this. But it says in verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. Now notice that verse 3 talks about the blessed woman doing her ministry. Actually, she sits upon the high places of the city. She's well known. And then in verse 14, it talks about the foolish woman that sits in the high places of the city. So there's a contrast going on here between the good and the bad. And so she sits in the high places of the city to do wrong things. Verse 15, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in here. As the in verse 4, the wise woman is saying, turn in here and get understanding. And so the foolish woman lies to people, for she says, turn in here, verse 16. And as for him that wants understanding, she says to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And now what a picture that we get in this contrast. Here we have the wise woman, and she's saying to groups and large numbers of people, come, come, and she's ministering, and she's taking care, and she's serving the Lord. And God is in the presence with her and working with her. But the foolish woman is saying, come, let's be secret. Let's get away from everything that's good and come here and let me lead you down a bad road and become like Shelob. Shelob is a big spider and from the movie, The Lord of the Rings. Is that The Lord of the Rings? Yes, okay. Stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But look at verse 18, men. Okay, verse 18. But he knows not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Boy, that used to make me shake in my boots when I was a junior in high school and read these scriptures, that I don't want to go to the depths of hell. I want to walk in the wisdom of God and the strength of the Lord. So God help us to stay clear of this kind of living or be tempted with that kind of temptation. Now let's go to verse 7. And we see verse 7 now, and it says, he that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. Another translation says, he that reproves a scorner will get insults. And as we look at that verse, we might ask the question, how can I get shame by rebuking a scorner? Now, a scorner is someone that speaks against the things of the Lord, speaks against God, speaks against God's anointed. And so how can I get shame and a blot from rebuking someone like that? Well, the answer is given to us in verse 8. And it says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Now, Jesus said, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. It will happen. But the thing is this, is that you will immediately be put on their scorn list, and that they will hate you, and then begin to talk about you too. And so that's where the shame would come, the insults would come, the blot would come. And so rather, let's go to the reverse of that. It's so beautiful. It says this, rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. This is to be teachable, to just love it when someone speaks to you where you need to listen and learn, when the Holy Spirit begins to convict us of sin, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us about how we need to turn around from where we're going, what we're doing, and we receive it and love it, that God's speaking to us, that's a wise man, that's a wise woman. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet the wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Well, when I read that, and then when I read it to Sherry, she said, oh, help, Lord. Oh, help, Lord. And it's true. We need God's help to become the wiser, to be teachable people, to remain there, because sometimes we just get unteachable. I remember years ago, I grew tired of listening to Pastor Chuck speak down at Costa Mesa, and it was just kind of a pride thing or whatever, I don't know, it was stupidity for sure. And then the Lord made me a Bible teacher, and I ran back there to his Sunday night services and drunk in every word, because God began to use me, and I needed help, and I needed instruction. And you know, we all need instruction, don't we? So we want to be wise, to be teachable, to be ready to go with what God would correct us in, because we'll all need correction till the day we die. And to just be open to it and just humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt us in due time. And so it is. That we need this so badly. And as we feel that need and cry out, Lord, help me with this, then comes the next verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There it is. Just respect for him as our teacher, to really bow the knee to him. There's this one brother, he used to lead worship on Wednesday nights years ago at the church, and we would go to pray together in the kitchen. We were in a place where we had a kitchen. be out behind the sanctuary. And we would go to the kitchen to pray for the Wednesday night study, and he would always go like this and put his hand over his heart, like a knight, you know, and a knight of the round table, you know, giving obeisance to the Lord, you know, obedience to the Lord, and like a vassal to his Lord, you know. And that just so blessed me, because that was sincere. He was bowing the knee to the Lord in his ministry and putting his hand of allegiance over his heart. And so I just started doing it with him. You know, I said, hey, this is good. You know, I want to do that too. So that's the way we would pray every Wednesday night. It was such a neat thing to happen. And as we do that, see, and have this respect for God, we begin to learn. Step by step, God brings us along, just encouraging us every inch of the way as we learn wisdom. Just respecting him. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me your days shall be multiplied, says the Lord, and the years of your life shall be increased. If you be wise, you shall be wise for yourself. In other words, it's to your benefit to be a wise man or woman. And then it says, but if you scorn, thou alone shall bear it. And what a hard thing to bear is that life of bitterness and scorn. So God help us, God lead us, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this chapter, chapter 9, to now bring us to the Proverbs, Lord. And Father, as we come to Christmas time now, we'll be having the lovely Christmas messages about your son and his coming to us, Lord. We thank you so much. Thank you for communion today, Lord, that we're going to take. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we need to know you in our hearts to take communion. And so, Father, at this time, we just want to pray for anyone here that doesn't know you yet, that they would open their hearts to you this morning, as Lynn encouraged us before her song, oh, accept Jesus. Take Jesus in, and she'll be doing that again in a minute. But Lord, we just want to pray, Lord God, that you would just touch any heart. And so we want to give you the invitation today, the invitation to accept Christ as your Savior, to receive the seven pillars of wisdom, to receive the seven spirits of God, the complete work of the Holy Spirit to begin in your life, to actually be there to see Jesus in heaven upon the throne, and the seven spirits of God present that have worked in your life. The work can't begin until you open your heart to Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. Actually, he came to us and said, behold, I stand at the door, that's the door of your heart, and knock. And if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. He will then bring you to the table. The table is ready. The communion elements are here. And he wants you today to receive wisdom and come to the table. So I must open my heart to him. And the way we do that is to ask him to come in, to forgive sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to recognize that. We need help. We need a Savior. And as we pray to him, then he will come in. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, there's no way I will cast him out. There just isn't any way he'll do that. God looks, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So I'm going to say this prayer today, known as the Sinner's Prayer. And when we as a congregation repeat this prayer out loud, we're renewing our vows with the Lord. But you today, if you've never done this, you can pray with us, looking to Jesus Christ to save you, to begin his work of the seven pillars of wisdom, the seven spirits of God working in your heart, the Holy Spirit doing his full work, complete work. And so I'm going to say this prayer now, and if you want to say it with us, you can be looking to God in your heart, and he will come into you and save you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need your help. Please come into me and save me, Lord. Thank you, Father, for thinking of me when you were on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. thank you, Lord, for remembering me. So, Lord, thank you now for salvation. For I know whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So congratulations if you did that. At this time, we're going to take communion, and just feel free to take communion with us if you said that prayer and meant it in your heart. So we'll have the men come forward now, and we'll take communion. Well, let's go ahead and pray for the bread. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this bread. Thank you, Lord, that it's because of what this bread represents that we're not dead. But, Lord, we're alive. Because you live, we shall live also. And thank you that it wasn't me that made that up, but you said that in your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious word, your precious promises. Lord, would you encourage every soul here today? And Father, as we remember you, Lord, that there would be a sweetness, such a sweetness today between you and each person here, that when each of us leave, Lord, we will just have that secret rejoicing deep in our hearts and the outward rejoicing as we look at our friends and our neighbors. So we thank you, Father. Thank you for this bread. Bless it, Lord. Bless it and bless it again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let's pray for the cup. Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord, you did pay it all for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much, Father God, that before you died on that cross, Lord, you were born, Lord. You were born for a specific purpose, to save our sins, Father God, to save us from those sins, Lord. You walked 33 years on this earth, Lord, living a perfect life, Lord. We just pray so much, Lord, that you'd forgive us of our sins. Help us to walk in your footsteps, Father God, as we celebrate your birth, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, and we are so unworthy of that. We ask you right now, Lord, that you bless this cup, Father God, to our bodies. Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you just wash us, Lord, as Lynn said, white as snow, Father God. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together to take communion today. This bread represents the broken body of Jesus for each one of us. And so we take the bread in faith in Jesus' name. And the cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for us on that cross to actually bring us to a state of cleanliness in the Spirit, which is that divine touch that only God can bring. So we take in faith in Jesus' name. I'd like to say to any of you that might have accepted Christ today for the first time, be sure to tell somebody that you did that, because God said, the Lord Jesus said, and he is God, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven and all of the holy angels. And so what a blessing to have that done for you as you confess the Lord. So God bless you all now. And if you need prayer, the prayer room's open. May the Lord just give you a beautiful day in Him. May you see Him as clearly as we saw the mountains this morning. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.